and friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all over you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm Courtney.
Romance.
Yeah. I'm Val.
I'm Lisa. Wow. I think you guys probably just heard that.
Our friend made bean soup last night.
We're all a little bit suffering the after effects of that.
It was delicious there.
Too much methane in the air right now. We can't think straight.
Can I tell you guys, I found the cutest Instagram. I shared it with you guys. Did you get it?
Which one?
Oh, it's
you know me and Instagram. I don't even know if I have an Instagram account.
I think you do because I share stuff with you.
You do? I have no idea. I think I probably do. I don't know how to log into it.
It's so cute. Okay, so I am going to tell you who they are. Meet Cute Cutes NYC. So it's MeetCutes. NYC, and these guys go around in New York and just pick people off the street who look like a couple days.
Oh, late. Yes, you showed.
Yeah,
oh,
sorry. You got it.
I haven't seen it.
No, I think
explain to me.
I think I'm actually thinking of the wrong one.
So okay, so they'll say, "Are you a couple?" And they'll say, "Yes," and then he just does a quick like, "Tell me how you met." And tell me what you love about the other person.
Cute.
It's so cute. So if you guys...
Just random people like that don't have anything pre-rehearsed.
No, they just... I think they look like a couple. Either they're holding hands, they're walking close to each other.
You would never look at me and Brad and be like, they look like a couple. I don't know if we've ever held hands.
I don't know how they ask. Maybe some people say no, we're not a couple. No, we don't.
Well, and we wouldn't see those because why? They were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tell us how you're not a couple. What do you hate about each other? We could totally do a different show spin-off.
It's just such a cute, sweet little positive, cute little videos.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Adorable.
Usually one will pop up on my feed a day, and I'm almost like just that's all I want to look at now.
Phew! Well, now I need to figure out how to get on with Instagram so I can watch it.
I don't know who I'm sending it to. I'm sending it to you.
I have signed up for social media accounts.
Yeah.
They are under my name and
So you probably open it up, but I don't have Instagram on my phone.
Well,
I'm sure
you can just look at them through me or Valerie. don't get into that.
Oh my gosh.
Whole thing. So today we're doing A Room with a View. It's a movie directed by James Ivory. The screenplay is by Ruth Prower and
Jabala.
Yeah.
Jabala?
Okay, thank you.
I don't know. Look it up.
It's based on a novel by E.M. Foster. He wrote it in 1908, and he also wrote books like Howard's End, other really good. He's very
good. And this movie was, I think it came out in 1985?
I think so. Yes, 1985.
And it was supposed to be taking place in the Edwardian area?
Mm-hmm.
Era. And I have no idea what... time in history.
It's like late 1900s.
Yeah, okay. Late 1900s.
And this movie won 3 Academy Awards, like Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Art Direction, Best Costume Design, 5 British Academy Film Awards, and the Golden Globe. It's just...
Whoa!
And the cast of characters the cast is big too. Julian Sands, Helena Bonham Carter, Maggie Smith, Judy Dench,
and
Daniel Day-Lewis. It's just
A
really good cast.
Yeah, Yeah. So I kept thinking about Harry Potter the whole time.
Me too.
Because of Professor McGonagall and
Beatrice. Yes, absolutely.
They were like the main people in this.
Yeah.
I love that they were in a movie
prior.
Yeah. Because I'd never seen this movie before.
Yeah, me neither. This one has a special spot for you, Courtney.
Oh, yeah. I think I did see it when it came out. Yeah. And I loved it.
Like back in 1985?
Yeah.
Did you go to the movie theater?
I think I might have rented it. So okay. It could have been in when I was 17, you know, after I don't think I saw
probably
it in the
on
movie
VHS.
Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I think I rented it and just loved it. I haven't really seen it since, so I didn't know how it would hold up for me again. But it does, and watching it again, I was laughing, I was, like, I loved it. To me, this is a perfect romance.
This is my perfect romance,
because I even love the era.
You're a Jane Austen fan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never gotten into Jane Austen, so
I love it. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead and read the synopsis? I think that they do a good job with a cliffhanger at the end. Mm-hmm. Lucy Honeychurch and her chaperone. And Lucy Honeychurch is played by
Helena Bonham Carter.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was going to call her Beatrice.
And
her chaperone, Charlotte Bartlett, who is Professor
McGonagall,
arrive in Florence. They are troubled by the fact that they don't have rooms with a view. Later that night at supper, fellow guests, Mr. Emerson and his son, George, offer to exchange their rooms for those of Lucy and Charlotte. This exchange is the first of many events where Lucy and Charlotte are involved in the plans of Mr. Emerson, George, and other guests from the hotel they are staying at. Lucy and George realize their passionate feelings for one another when George kisses Lucy. And it is not a simple matter of boy likes girl, but boy likes girl, and girl is engaged to another. Now, Lucy begins to doubt her feelings for her husband-to-be and gets caught up in a web of lies to convince herself, George, and everyone else that she isn't in love with George. How will it all turn out in the end?
Oh, yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
I'm going to start by the names are great, Honeychurch.
That's a great name.
Lucy Honeychurch is so great. And the Reverend Mr. Beebe.
Mm-hmm. He's so, so funny. Cute. He's a cutie.
So the movie has different acts. The first one is in Italy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think the second one is back in England.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a small piece in London and then back in England again. Mm-hmm. And the first act is where they go to, Italy. And it's at a time when women, it's very formal. And I feel that this is just before the 20s, when the 1920s, when women were able to kind of be a little more not so reserved and proper.
It's about 40 years before that era, I would say.
No, 2030, because if this was filmed in if this story takes place in 1908, 1900s.
There were no cars. Everything
there was
horse
one car. There was one
there
car.
There was a car?
There was one car.
Oh, they did have a car back in England.
You're right.
So it would have been early 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, 1920 would be 2030. You're right. 2030 years later. So Lucy is very, I feel she grows up in England, and I think at the time, too, there was this idea of maybe wealthy people having children and kind of letting them go, like Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's kind of fun, their children are not being so proper. They're going and running out into the forest and being wild. And that was cute at the time,
But they all had their trust funds.
Yes.
And they all had I think I'll dally in London for a bit.
Yes.
rent my own apartment and not have to do anything, but just go be there.
Yeah, but so Lucy has that childhood where she's out, you know, gallivanting in the forest with her brother. And so she has a more down-to-earth spirit, and she's a little more spirited than maybe other women of the time who maybe had a more proper upbringing.
Yeah.
So she has this in her. She has this in her. She wants to, but she feels like now that she's older, she has to be proper and reserved. So this brings me to she and her cousin Charlotte, or was it her cousin? Yeah, cousin Charlotte.
I thought it was her chaperone.
Aunt. Oh, yeah. Okay, yes.
Right. There was definitely a difference.
Yes. Yeah. She and her aunt are in Italy. They don't get a room with a view. And they're disappointed, probably more Charlotte than Lucy. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting at a table having dinner with Mr. Emerson and George.
I feel like all the guests in the hotel, it almost felt like it was a bed and breakfast type situation.
Yes, yes.
Everyone was so cozy and intimate with everything they did.
Yeah, and it's really sweet. They're kind of discussing this between them two. And
I think it's funny how the adults are like, oh, really? This mustn't. And the kids are like, stop. Stop. You're embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Totally. That hasn't changed at all.
No, yeah. I'm still like that.
And Mr. Emerson overhears, and he suggests that they switch rooms.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's like, oh, that's not proper. You can't do that. No, we won't take your room. We can't do that. Mm-hmm. And he is just
silly.
He's such a cute man. He's so sweet. He says, why? Women like looking out of you. Men don't.
We like to be internal.
Yes. He goes, I don't care what I see outside my vision. My vision is within. Here is where the birds sing. Here is where the sky is blue.
Well, he's a writer. Yes. And I think writers live a lot in their heads.
Yes.
So.
And he's a very passionate man, as is his son, George.
But he wants his son to be even more passionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so
that's a routine, I guess.
Yeah, so they switch rooms, and I also think George is passionate, and he's young, and he has a question mark. He makes a question mark on the plate of his food.
Oh yes,
and kind of shows it to Lucy. And he also, when they exchange rooms, Lucy and Charlotte see this picture that's turned around. Uh-huh. So the picture's facing the wall, and he's written a big question mark. And they're thinking, what's happening? What is this? And he strides in and turns it around. And they're thinking, so he obviously is questioning the world and what's happening in life and who he is and what his purpose is. And so he's also kind of a passionate young man.
He is brooding.
Yes, brooding. Mm-hmm. So, and Lucy, I think, too, is kind of, like I said, she's sort of wondering, she's trying to be proper and maybe, but I think she's torn at this point. Like, she needs to be proper, but she does have these feelings. And so she kind of gets a little caught up in his, like, and thinks it's kind of funny, too, like, oh, who is this young man who's so passionate about stuff? And so George and Lucy's left to explore by herself because Charlotte runs off with this,
the writer.
Yes. Her name is Eleanor Lavish.
There were a lot of writers, and which I think is interesting because, well, I guess back then writers were born from wealthy family because no one else could afford to just sit around and write all day and not get paid. Yeah. So everyone in this film is obviously coming from a lot of money, because none of them actually
work
or do anything. Yeah. And that's, I don't know, that's like a theme in romance movies.
Yeah.
That I'm seeing a lot.
I'm looking, at least I just older look, ones. I like, looked at past this because I just love the story so much.
How does that work? I'm too logical. I'm like, how are these people surviving?
So, Eleanor
Lavish. There's a lot of pressure.
But she's publishing books. She's publishing romance novels, actually. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte kind of gets caught up in her, because she's a little bit, for the time, she's kind of breaking the...
She probably writes spicy for the time.
Yes.
And she uses Lucy as her muse.
Yes, we find out later.
Well, she says that. She's like, I think I'm going to use Lucy as my muse. So she's right out the gate. She called it.
I think she sees something happening. Lucy, too, that she is proper, but she's got more.
She's funky. Yes.
And then that also comes through in Lucy's piano playing.
Oh,
because Lucy is a very proficient pianist, but she also plays... She also plays very passionately, which is so passionately, and she gets lost, and Lucy even says it herself, like, she gets lost in her music.
Yes, Mr. Beebe is listening, and he says, because she's playing in the hotel, mm-hmm. and he says, if Miss Honeychurch takes to live as she plays, it will be very exciting for both of us and for her. He tells that to
Mr. Beebe.
Mr. Beebe says that to somebody else.
I think Mr. Emerson.
Yeah, Mr. Emerson.
Yeah. But they, so she's kind of exploring by herself. So is George and his father. But George leaves his father, and they are in this public area and witness these two Italian men get into an argument, and one is stabbed and dies to death in front of both of them. And Lucy passes out.
She faints. Yeah. But the thing that I was confused by for a minute there is, like, he's a vampire. Because he was 50 feet away from
her.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he was catching her. I'm like, oh, this is a vampire story.
Yes.
Because I didn't know how he could move from 50 yards in less than a second.
It was kind of like straight out of a Twilight scene.
It felt like a Twilight scene. It did.
It did. Like when they're,
in that stone courtyard.
Oh, I was there. I've been there.
Oh, yeah. In Florence. I think that was, no, in Venice?
No, it was in Tuscany. It was in Monte Pulcilliona.
Whatever.
No, that one is Montpellier. We could look it up. Yeah.
So George...
He catches her,
and he, you know, they move away. And she's just like, please don't tell anybody I pass out. Please don't.
Because she wants to fit into what she thinks is the stoic,
proper.
Yes, I just saw a man brutally murdered at my feet. Like, his blood is on my photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she's, like, embarrassed by that and doesn't want to, like, show the feelings. And then...
Yeah, and George says, be real with me. Like, we just... Mm-hmm. experience something together that was, you know,
will forever change us.
It'll change us forever. We just experienced something monumental has happened here.
You are adding so many words. They said like 10.
No, he did say something monumental.
Yes, he did say that.
Yes, he said something has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Big. And we need to recognize this. And we both shared it together. And this is sort of a turning point for them,
mm-hmm.
and for him, because he's questioning things all the time. Like, he's, what am I here for? What do I, the big question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, and then that man was just killed so quickly over nothing that we knew of.
Yeah. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't part of the story.
And so they, they, then, like, a couple days later, I don't know, the whole group of them go to...
they're just exploring the countryside on horse and buggy, right?
Yeah, and I wanted to say this, too. Mr. Emerson does have a... Before the murder, he talks to Lucy without George being around, and he says... This is how he kind of explains this some. He says, my poor boy has brains, but is muddled. Why should he be? He was brought up free from all the superstition that leads men to hate one another in the name of God. I don't require you to fall in love with my boy, but please try to help him. If anyone could stop him from brooding, it would be you. Make my boy understand that on the other side of the everlasting why, there is a yes and a yes and a yes.
So was he saying, can you go bang my son? Because that's what I got out of that.
I kind of got that too.
No, I just think that he felt that they had a connection. And mm-hmm, I felt like he was just saying, you know, if he's just is not, he's asking too many, like he's just.
So at this point though, in the novel, the only connection they have is a very traumatic experience,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which I don't know if that's the most healthy way to like bond with a person, like trauma bond. Mm-hmm. But that's at that point in the novel, that's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. maybe some attraction for each other.
But, well, so he's, yeah. George is maybe asking, what am I here for? What is the point? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. what the point of everything is. And something about that moment, because his dad is like, think of the positive, you know, and if anybody can help him see the positive in the world, it could be you. Like, there is a yes, and a yes, instead of a no, no, no.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, just help him maybe see the positive.
Well, and he gave and her an assignment, though, which is actually a very good... He gave her an assignment of try to make my son not so broody.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. stuff. And in a sense, she's like, oh, okay, I can do that. Because, you know, she's a good girl. She'll do what she's told.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, too. But then she's also this passionate girl as well.
Yeah.
So that she's basically given an assignment to be open to his son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she agrees to that.
And even though this is a negative experience that they witnessed together, it somehow changes how he feels. And he starts to say yes. So the next day they're,
maybe he's taking life is short.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And he's like, beauty.
Yeah. So they go to, Italy, like, countryside.
And he climbs a tree that is not much bigger than he is.
He just seems to be so full of life at this point. So he goes off, you know, wanders out and, climbs a tree and he's like, beauty, love. He just is shouting. So obviously he's feeling something extraordinary has happened. And he's kind of out in this field of wheat and looking at the beautiful landscape. Lucy is kind of tired of hanging out with. And actually, they want to shoo her away because they want to talk about romance without her there. Charlotte and...
Well, wasn't there something going on with the cab driver who was making out with the girl and she could sit on the side of the road?
That was so random.
Because they were making out so much. So I think that in that
sense... They weren't watching the road. They were too busy
making out. Yeah. Which is kind of weird in front of them. So then they just basically put the girl on the side of the road. She gets
the boot.
Yes. I'll get back to that.
But that kind of also makes them, it's sort of like a preview of watching porn. I mean, that was as much porn as she'd ever seen. I think that was like Lucy had never actually seen people making out before.
So obviously this Italian guy is passionate too. And there's a twinkle in his eye when Lucy leaves Eleanor and Charlotte, and she's like, I'm going to go for the Reverend Mr. Beeb. Mm-hmm. So she goes up to the Italian guy. It's the first person she says. He's like, I'm looking for Mr. Beeb, and he speaks Italian, so he doesn't really understand, but I think he knows mm-hmm. exactly what he does. So he leads her to George, who's looking at the view in the middle of this beautiful field of wheat. And she's like, oh, that's not who I wanted. But okay, so she kind of walks down to talk to him. And he turns around and sees her and strides up to her. And to me, was so romantic. He pulls her in his arms and kisses her. And she's like, oh, what's happening? But
does it show them kissing there?
Yeah. Yes. It's,
okay.
To me, it was...
It does. I was...
It's a passionate, you said it's sloppy and aggressive, but I felt like it was a passionate kiss of passion, which she wasn't expecting, so it is kind of a little awkward, but I...
It was really awkward to me. I thought she looked like little Simba crawling through the grass and and he turned around and just basically like ate her face.
Oh God.
It looks
When that scene happens, I literally go, yay! Oh, I'm saying yes! And yes,
I mean, it's so funny because I
would have slapped a guy for kissing me.
He just kind of pounced on her. I'm like, what? What made you think you could just bounce on me like that?
He was feeling passionate and full of love.
Yeah, but he did not read the room to me.
It worked. I felt like it worked.
She was kind of like, okay, I think I like this. At the end of the kiss,
absolutely. So yeah. They showed
and then she got interrupted. Right, the second after she started feeling the kiss, they had the grandma, the aunt came and was like,
but I don't think, I know that the synopsis said that they were engaged. But that until they go back to England.
Yeah, so that's why exactly.
I mean, she's not taken.
You're not supposed to kiss at all. Like, you would be a broken woman.
So there's real. There are two opposites in this movie in lots of ways. There's two reverends: Reverend Mr. Beebe and Mr. Reverend Eager. And the Reverend Eager was the one who makes an Italian boy and young man and girl, like, he makes the girl get off the carriage, and he's, like, really proper. The whole thing is proper. But Mr. Beebe is a little more naturalistic and kind of, everyone was like, they're just young, let them do whatever. And, you know, that was pretty sweet. But there's also the proper Mr. Cecil and George. And Mr. Cecil, Cecil Feiss. So the second part of the story,
we have to say one more thing. So they were caught in this sexy kiss.
Yes, by Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. And immediately it was determined that their vacation was over. Lucy has to go home now.
Right. And they're not to speak of it.
And they're not to speak of it ever. Which Lucy upholds.
Yes. But Charlotte, we find in the end of the story, does not. Right. So they go back to her family. You know, I don't know how much time passes, but she's second part of the book. They have like an English countryside manor, and it's beautiful. And she's has a younger brother, Henry, who, you know, is always up to no good.
Yeah. They're cute
together. But the story starts again. She's just getting engaged to Cecil. Mm-hmm. And Cecil is the most uptight.
And he's played by Daniel Day-Lewis, who I love. He's a great actor.
Yes.
He did a great job. Definitely had a stick up his ass. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And he walked with a cane, which I'm like,
why?
You can walk perfectly fine. What's the cane for? He claims to be a man of leisure.
Oh yes, he's not. He's straight laced and critical and pompous.
Yes,
and nobody is very excited about this engagement because he's just
her family
so
was like,
hard.
We don't like him.
Lame.
And, like, does he have to ruin the good time for everyone with his, like, oopity uptightness?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I, the first time they kissed, I mean, he wore those glasses, and I was like, how are those staying on his nose? Yes. The spectacles without anything that goes behind the ear.
Yeah.
And well, they kiss. And it was so painfully awkward.
Because he...
And I think that's when Lucy's like, this, do I really want to stay with this guy?
Yeah. Well, he went to go, like, peck her, and she went to attack his face the way that she had her face attacked.
It was awful.
And then she was being the aggressive one. Yeah. He was like...
And she realizes, I miss kissing George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it starts here.
There's no passion in this.
Yes.
She,
And then lo and behold, who shows up in her life?
Exactly.
Well, there is a villa that needs to be rented, and she thinks of two of these little ladies that were in Italy, and she, writes to them.
Mm.
But Cecil, for some reason, I don't know why he happens to meet George, and there's a big discussion on
what is George, Mr. Emerson he met.
And George. They're all together and at an Italian, they're at a museum looking at Italian, like the Italy something. And there's a big discussion on whether it's chance or destiny or, you know, and the Reverend Beebe says, it's destiny and chance, because why would they both have a connection to Italy? So of course they're both being drawn.
I need a charger.
Oh yeah.
This is gonna die. Yes. I'm gonna run and be right back. Sorry.
Okay.
We'll pause.
Our iPads like dying.
It is gonna die. Let's stop it right now, or we will lose it.
Yeah.
Well, we can keep.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you have a charger, right?
I don't.
There's 9%.
Okay. Do you have the one that's like this?
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll just edit this out.
Yeah. Cut it.
We'll just keep recording.
We can even say it's around 30 minutes in.
Yeah.
And we need to wrap up in the next, 10 minutes or 15, because you got to get your...
Yeah. Well, I've got about a half an hour.
Okay.
And I'm set down there, so whenever Ruth gets here.
I'm like, hey, hey.
I know. There's a lot to go over, too, because I just love this so much.
You're so cute.
I got a lot to discuss about it, too.
It's like your first...
It was one of my... Yeah, I think so. It's one of my first romance movies that I love. Okay, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll just
Do it. Yeah, I think I feel just off today.
Oh, my God, my stomach. I do, too.
I can always delete this part out.
Yeah, we're planning it. Yeah. It's around the 30-minute. Everyone needs to poop.
We don't need to pause or anything. Can't remember what we were saying, but I'm like, we can't die on us.
Yeah. Well, your shoes are really cute.
Thanks. Clearance. Probably, you know me.
Oh, yeah. That kind of girl.
Look at that, it reaches. Okay, thank you for doing that.
It dies.
Okay, I'll cut that out.
Oh yeah, we're gonna cut that whole part.
Okay,
cut it.
All right. So where was I at?
We're talking about how the chance of them meeting.
Oh yes, and so Mr. Beebe is the little village's. That means like their pastor.
He's a pretty chill guy.
He's a really fun guy. He's probably one of the most fun characters in the series.
I know. I love him.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
I'd be like, I want to marry him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for he probably can't marry a woman. So.
Maybe not.
Life of celibacy. And obviously.
But so Cecil starts up a conversation with Mr. Emerson and George. And Mr. Emerson says they are looking for a place in the country so that, you know, they want to be close to nature. And George somewhere close so that George can come on the weekends and visit him because he works in London. So Cecil offers this villa, and he's so proud of himself. And when Lucy finds out, not only is she kind of mad at him because she realizes it's George and Mr. Emerson, but that he kind of, it, now these two ladies that she really likes, these two older ladies that she likes and had written to and offered them the house, it's not happening for them. And she's kind of upset with them for getting involved. So that's how Mr. Emerson and George moved to the village. Yes.
And as they're moving in, this might be my favorite line of the whole movie.
I wonder if it's the same movie.
And I'm going to botch it because I didn't write it down, but the little brother comes to meet them and he's like, he doesn't even say hello. He doesn't even introduce himself. He doesn't say, want to come for a bath?
Yes, he says. George says to Henry, how do you do? And Henry answers, want to go for a bath? And so George, Mr. Beebe, and Henry walk to this little lake.
Is it Mr. Beebe? I thought it was Mr. Emerson.
But the funny thing was that the two boys are basically starting to bathe, and then they convince the preacher.
They're like, come in.
So bathing means skinny dipping.
Yeah.
But they were running and chasing each other, wrestling underwater. I was like, is this about to turn into a bromance?
I totally was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, well, this is an interesting
story. Are definitely touching tips underwater.
Oh, yeah.
For
sure. And they were like rancorous.
I think it was.
Rancorous.
That was the great thing about it is that it kind of was a bromance, but it was, George fits so well into the family.
Yeah.
Because
you saw it that way.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, you could look at it one way, but I was thinking
in a sense that I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, younger brother's gay. And I'm like, this is so interesting.
It just got fun.
It did. I was we're kicking it up. And I'm like, is this going to everyone with a view? We're like, the family shares. I'm like, I don't know what's going to go on here. I'm like, whoa, this is not so.
Yeah, I saw it as more brotherly. Like, instantly, but George and Henry connected in a brotherly type thing. And they were wrestling.
I got to the brotherly. Like, the way that they were playing was more brotherly.
But the beginning of it,
I was like, well, that's a very good pickup line.
For the 80s, what was this rated? Probably PG-13. Maybe. There was a lot of dick.
There was so much French in the scene.
And I was like, nowadays, what would that be rated?
Oh, that'd be definitely R.
Yeah. But the 80s, they could get away with just about anything. Full frontal nudity. I mean, even Mr. Beebe gets in.
Oh, three guys. And we even saw an underage boy's pee-pee. Like, that character Henry was not 18.
Yeah, no, he was probably young.
And we saw, I'm like, that was child pornography.
Uh-huh. So there we've got some child porn. Full frontal
child porn.
Yeah. So the funniest.
That was the 80s.
The funniest part.
I mean,
part
we're not like
is,
changing a baby's diaper here. That was.
I know.
So I'm laughing out loud when
that was hilarious.
Cecil, Lucy, and Lucy's mom walk up and see all of them naked.
George literally runs into Lucy. Yes. And then I was like, he acted like he'd been electrocuted.
I know, he screams.
And his friends go out. And it was like, the acting is just
She sees him totally naked. And then they all hide. The Reverend,
Broderick,
George.
Could not stop laughing.
That was so funny. That was my favorite part.
They all go hide in the bushes, and the mom, and Lucy's laughing, and Cecil's disgusted.
Yes. And then Lucy's trying to act for Cecil, and then she eventually just can't do it. She's like, whatever, I'm going to laugh.
And they realize, I don't think they know exactly who it is, and then they walk past Henry, who's in the bushes, and the mom's like, oh, goodness, Henry.
I love how the preacher's like trying to hide behind that bush.
And they're like,
is
that Mr. Beebe?
Yeah, and then he's like totally bestie. He's like, yeah,
Yes, Mr. Bean, sorry.
And I think they're trying to cover themselves with like a fur leaf or something. They're not doing anything with it. Nice try.
Oh, it's so great.
That was probably the best part of the whole movie.
It was.
Was when he jumps and
that
screams.
That was so freaking funny.
I want to know how many takes they did.
Yeah, I know. It was so great.
Before they settled off that particular jump swing move.
It was so awkward looking. It was like so like, hey!
It was cartoonish.
It was really cartoonish. It was cute.
Oh, it was funny.
So obviously, Henry just really likes George. He's like, can George come
and play
tennis?
Brotherly, yes.
He's like, hey, we're having this party. Can George come?
George is my new best friend. You gotta be my new best friend, George. This is George. Hey, George, you wanna come bathe again? George.
We can bathe every day and night.
Yeah, and
he's my new best friend.
Yeah, so my new best friend, George.
He's like, oh my God, do we have to have them come to the party or to anything? She can't tell anybody exactly why she doesn't want them. So they come. And so Cecil, this is interesting to me. Like, Cecil is staying in their country estate. While they're engaged.
Yes.
And he seems so...
And they haven't set a wedding date. They keep pushing it out, and Lucy can't decide.
Yeah, and he just seems so not a part of it. He's so proper and so straight.
It's painful.
It's painful.
Yeah.
So while
and
Lucy...
He's judgy.
Yes.
Yeah, he definitely has a long nose.
He's like these country people.
Yes.
And so while everyone is playing tennis, he's sitting and reading. He thinks it's so funny. He's reading. Eleanor Lavish's new book.
Which I'm surprised how quickly the turnaround in publishing.
Oh, right?
But we don't really know how much time. Like, I can't
really
figure
out how
much
time
left.
But it makes me feel like...
Charlotte's also staying there too, so she's come to stay for a while. So Charlotte's there. George is, and Henry and Lucy are playing badminton, and and Cecil is reading. He thinks it's so funny. Excerpts from this romance novel, but he won't play. He won't play with that.
I'm not a physical man. I'm
a man of leisure.
Yes. He might be physical, but I am not. I'll read.
And I'm going to read out loud while you guys are playing tennis.
Yes.
And just kind of read, like, pay attention to me.
Yeah. So he...
Yeah. He's so awkward.
They take a break, and George and Lucy kind of fall on the ground, and Cecil's kind of sitting on a chair, and he keeps reading. He's like, oh, Lucy, you have to read this part. She starts reading it to herself, and she's like, I can't read this. He's like, well, let me read it. So he reads it, and it describes she and George's kiss in the field.
Perfectly.
And this just gives George another reason. So when they're, you know, walking up to the house, he pulls her into this bush and kisses her. And you can tell
she's okay with it this time. He didn't spring on her like a lion.
No.
But, you know, he didn't add. Well, the difference between, so this is also the thing too, the difference between his first kiss with her, he didn't wait for any body language reciprocation or anything. He just pounced. But Cecil was like, after he'd been engaged to her forever, he's like, may I kiss you?
As awkwardly as possible.
Exactly. And then he went in for like a chicken peck. And she went into like, oh, no, this is how you're supposed to pounce, because that's her only kissing experience. And then it was so awkward. And then, like, the first time that kissing timing is actually, like, was, again, when George, like, pounces on her when she's walking back to the place. But he at least kind of got some body language.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was definitely into it this time. And I think this might have been the most insightful moment when George points out to Lucy, like, Cecil's not the man for you. He wants to own you. Did you write it down?
I wrote it down.
I think
it's great. In front of Charlotte. That's what was so interesting.
Because then Lucy goes up to the house and confronts Charlotte. She's like, you told me not to tell my own mother about this or anybody. George and I didn't say anything to anybody, yet you tell Eleanor, the novelist, who writes it in a book. Yeah. I'm so mad at you. Mm-hmm. And she still isn't, Lucy still doesn't want to acknowledge that she has this passion inside her. Mm-hmm. She's still like, I am going to live the proper life. I'm going to get married to Cecil, and this is how it's going to be. So George, they bring George in.
Can I say one of my favorite lines was when Lucy was leaving, or Charlotte, and Charlotte says, oh, forgive me, or something like that. And she's like, oh, you always find a way to forgive yourself and move on. You know, so she's like, oh, I just feel so terrible, so bad that I did this. I hope you can find a way to ever forgive me. I can't ever forgive myself. And Lucy just looks and says, that's bullshit. Yeah. You always forgive yourself and find a way to move on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're full of shit, essentially.
Charlotte is an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
She's,
but she's a meddler.
Yeah, she's a meddler.
A subtle meddler.
But so George says to Lucy, he tells her that Cecil can't know anyone intimately, least of all a woman. He doesn't know what a woman is. He wants you as a possession, to look at like a painting or an ivory box, something to own, to display. He doesn't want you to be real, to think or to live. He doesn't love you, but I love you. And I want you to have your own thoughts, ideas, feelings, even when I hold you in my arms. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's saying, I love, like, you and everything about you. I want you to be you and nothing else, because that's what's important. But he just loves
the idea of you.
I'm going to call something up.
Hmm.
He doesn't really know her, in my opinion.
Well, for the time,
them interacting beyond a pounce on the side of a hill
and
bumping into each other when he's naked.
I feel like we missed part of this story in this
There was not a lot of interaction between the two of them for him to know that he...
To know actually, these intimate things as truth.
I struggled with that.
I struggled with that in the book.
Well, I
don't know if that's just the difference between the movie and the book adaptation. Like, the script writing left out
a big part of the book.
We're just assuming that they had more interactions.
I'm assuming so. How
could he possibly know her intimately? Like, maybe I didn't see that.
I think that they, this connection
about each other.
I feel like there's just these things that kind of, they're very big moments that happened to both of them that really drove them closer together than they might have been just whatever.
They had a traumatic experience. That may be part of it, but they don't really go into that at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just something big that happened.
Lucy is, she is the Gibson girl. Like, at that time, that is what women strive to be. Like,
I
love this piece too, where she has this big mane of brown hair that's amazing.
Absolutely.
When she's with Cecil, it's all up. I mean, she's trying really hard to be that proper person, mm-hmm. where it's up in this, you know, tied up knot. It's not a strict knot, because her hair keeps kind of flying out. That is her natural part, you know, and her hair.
Wild.
Yes, she's wild. Her hair is big and long and crazy, but she's always trying to. It's the opposite of the whole story. There's like these opposites. There's
That's
the reverence, or the priests and the...
Damn, Courtney. You are insightful.
She is, yeah.
I always tell... George and Cecil and, you know, there, and she is making that choice of what life she wants to mm-hmm. She wants
there
to
is
be.
That contrast.
Yes, there is
sure.
definitely.
And I think that's where I want to stop talking about it. Yeah. Because that's a good spot where mm-hmm. it's like, now she definitely has a choice to decide between George and Cecil.
Yeah. Yes.
And the options and the life that that would bring. Like, her hair up in a bun, or does she get to let it be wild and free?
Uh-huh.
But so, you're so apt.
Yes.
You always make me appreciate things way more than I would have. It's every time. I'm
it's
like,
so
oh,
true. I love that about you, Courtney.
Thank you. Well, how realistic was this story?
I mean, for the time, I bet it was super realistic.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
people
too.
Did not court. I think things were pretty prearranged, or it was, mm-hmm. you know,
assumed.
My family is of this stature, so you have a child this age, mm-hmm. that should be how it is.
Yeah.
I think that was probably pretty accurate for mm-hmm. that time.
I think so
although
too.
It felt really weird now, that the fact that there was nothing leading up to...
Well, Cecil, we don't know how they even met, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was just a convenience. They're both proper and wealthy and well-to-do. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Well, and I think he was a little bit kind of like, this is his way of being, she's beautiful, she's an amazing pianist. And then he like nods to, he almost even takes her, that she was raised in the country, as as a prize too. So like even that isn't, that's who she is. It's a, I refined her.
Yes. I wrote that down. He tells his mother's like, you know, he's like admiring, like, Lucy's been at their house in London and she's played, a different, tune than Cecil suggests. And he's like admiring how well it actually went off. That it fit this situation better than what he had suggested. And he says to his mother, he wants to raise their children educated, just like Lucy. Bring them up among honest country folk for freshness. Send them to Italy, subtlety, and then not till then, bring them to London.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously he does see her as, yeah, he sees her as just as a thing.
Yes.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. And in the sense that, like, he's going to refine and groom her mm-hmm. a little bit. She has these wonderful characteristics, and that's so great. But they're for me to utilize how I want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And display when I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who the love interests are, I think really what it boils down to is, who is she going to be with? And would they ever realistically get together?
Yeah.
I think
we should do this
Cecil,
for both boys.
Yeah,
yes,
let's do
for
that.
Her and Cecil, I think that it would be very likely.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's how
likely.
It was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for her and George, I think that was like a destiny type of setup.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Not
that they couldn't have been set up, it's just that they weren't.
They never would have gotten together had destiny not, like, everything fallen in line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way it was written.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were destined to be together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, I still think they're awkward as hell, but they were destined to be together.
Well, and how long will their relationship, how long will
with her and Cecil? I think they probably would be together forever just because of the times
mm-hmm.
and the agreement to, if she married him, she'd stay married with him
they
forever.
They would be miserable together forever.
Yeah, and maybe not miserable, but they'd just be blah.
Yeah, she would have just, yep. I mean, I think she would have found her greatest, her biggest emotions would be with her family
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and doing exactly what she's doing. Like, Cecil
absolutely.
Could sit around and watch her and read, and
mm-hmm.
she would still enjoy those things with her family, but then she'd have to become really proper again.
Yeah,
she
that's
went
the
to
majority.
London.
Exactly.
Part.
Yeah,
she wouldn't
she,
be herself.
She would probably not like that part of her life.
But I think mm-hmm. that That she, they would have been married forever.
Yeah, they would have been married
forever.
There
was such a thing as divorce.
No.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would have been considered a good life. She's mm-hmm. a lucky girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if she ended up with George, I think that would be forever.
Yeah, I know. But actually, to be quite honest, this is, sounds weird.
I'm giving them 2 years.
I don't think we have enough information to make that decision, because that would actually be based on the relationship. And they don't really know each other.
Right now, we have like a few makeout sessions.
Yeah, they're just, right now, they're just passion-y. So we don't know if they would actually have long-term sustainability. Also, considering the fact that they were willing, if they were to get together, it would show that they're willing to act on passionate moments without further information and not knowing whether or not they have long-term stability. So I would have to say I would probably be less inclined to believe that they would stay together forever. I mean, they probably would if they did get married. And
Lucy was raised very, like, they were raised with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I don't have a clue about, like, George and his father seem to be kind of like travelers. They're renting from people. They don't have any land or estate of their own. They're adventurous. They're fun, but, like, that's not the expectation.
And he works. He actually, he's not a man of leisure. He has to work.
Yes. So,
well, she has a trust fund, so she'll bring that to the marriage.
If they only accepted them, and I think at that
they
time.
Would.
They did.
Yeah.
They already did.
They would have accepted George.
Oh, yeah.
Just
they were
kind of rooting for him a little bit.
Yeah. Because they were all,
the mom liked him. The dad seemed to go along.
Okay, everybody liked George.
Yeah.
He didn't have a stick up his ass. When he was walking with a cane, he didn't need it.
I think that would have been fine. I'm saying 25 to life, because I think that they experienced something.
I don't have enough information.
No, they're going to be there.
They're going to be hot and heavy and having babies, so.
And they're going to love them.
Yeah, because they didn't have birth control back then, so she would have gotten knocked up pretty quick.
Yeah, she'd be, and then they'd be focused on family.
Pretty much everybody's a 25 to life at that time, because they had no other options.
Exactly.
And they've had no birth control.
Yeah, and especially if she's the money, then, that also means that he needs to stick with her.
Yeah. So, okay, fine, from that perspective, I'll give it, but...
but really, truly, there should be more relationship-based. I don't think that we know enough about the relationship to be able to say...
Yeah, but they are at least similar enough.
Yes.
Passionate enough that they will probably enjoy it.
Yeah. Or they'll both self-destruct.
Yeah, we just don't know.
And like,
how spicy. Yeah. It's a green pepper.
It's a green pepper.
Except for the bathing suit.
And that wasn't
sexual. At first I was like, oh, this could be sexy. But then I realized, there's no sexy vibe in here at all between the two.
It was total green pepper.
Yeah.
I think we shared our favorite lines.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Does it matter? I do. I think it did. It mattered to me. It had a lot of, I think it was inspiring. It just was happy. It felt good to me.
You did an excellent job of pointing out their aha moments. Mm-hmm. They needed to be spelled up more for me. I don't think they had like a few lines here, a few lines there, but I just didn't get to see it in action. So for me, it was like, I missed it. Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed with, I felt like at first I was like, well, you know, I was cooking while I was watching the first part of the movie. So did I just miss more of the relationship development between them? So I don't understand how they thought. I still don't think that.
I think they fell in love with the idea of each other.
Yes.
In that.
And the realm of, can we do that within this era and stuff. So I don't know that, I felt like I didn't get enough information on why they fell in love. Like, why did you guys feel like, you know, I didn't get that. Like, I felt like I missed part of the movie.
Well, to me, the movie represents like a shift in time when people are not marrying they're moving from marrying for convenience
to marrying for
passion.
Exactly.
And
but that's
also, I feel like the question why
like, why?
Because marriage is a financial arrangement purely.
Yeah.
With a little bit of, yeah.
And above that, just even the George's questioning of life and what does it all mean to the yes, yes, and yes. To maybe we would all be so much better off moving in life with the yes instead of the no, no, and no. I think for me, I want to approach life more with a positive outlook.
And I didn't necessarily, I mean, I like that, and I like that concept. I think in the, I think that I felt like they were choosing the concept of considering passion, considering, like, I felt more like they were deciding to not conform, to say the yeses, but I felt like they were more agreeing to do that and marrying that idea and falling in love with that idea than they were actually falling in love with each other at the very beginning.
Well, because I think for this era, the idea of passionate love is foreign to most everyone. That did not exist, because in that time, marriage
absolutely
was financial engagement, and passion was found in your affairs outside of marriage. That's where you got to be passionate. And so...
So only men got to be passionate then.
I mean, it takes two to tango. Women. But, yes. That's why certain professions have been around a long time. But I think that is what this story is doing. Is showing this is a new concept.
Yes.
And that passion is okay. So in that way, at that time, super relevant, but now it's been, like, that's the expectation, so it felt awkward.
Yeah, it felt awkward to me. Now we, now
because
we want...
Because of what we know now.
Yeah, and now we have the opportunity to, okay, well, we expect passion.
Yeah.
And we want the friendship and the development and all of the other things, plus the passion.
Right.
So we just have much higher standards
now. We have very different standards. But at the time it was written,
it was
probably groundbreaking concepts.
Absolutely.
Truly.
That's very true.
Yeah. So do we care about or do we like these characters?
Yes, I mean, they're
adorable.
I loved all of the characters. I thought
they stayed true to who they were.
Yeah.
They were. Yeah, they were great characters.
Who would we recommend it to?
I would say everyone. I loved it.
Brad couldn't stop giggling.
Well, that says something. He stayed engaged.
He was engaged. He's like, he thought it was kind of ridiculous, but that's most rom-coms or romances.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
I think with this one, you actually...
I think you need a movie guide to like point out all those nuances that you just did.
And I don't know that you need a movie guide so much as this is one where, like, I enjoyed the last half of the movie a lot more than the first half of the movie when I finally just sat down and I didn't try to do something else while I was doing watching the movie.
That's on you.
I know. So... But that's what I'm saying. Like,
if you're gonna watch a movie, watch a movie and don't do other things.
I know. But normally with rom-coms, you can totally turn the movie on and like, okay, I'm going to.
The idea of multitasking is an idea, but in actuality, our brains aren't designed to do that.
Yeah.
So the idea that you can do two things at once and get a lot out of both is farcical. You just have to just sit down and enjoy one thing at a time.
And so that's what I would say. This is a movie.
And I truly sat and watched it and took notes. But you should see my notes. And I'm like, why is he walking with a cane?
Oh, God.
He doesn't need a cane. That's actually messing with the same pattern.
Why would he climb a tree he's too big for?
That was kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
I think I'm like, does he not know how to actually climb a tree? I'm like,
what's he doing?
It wasn't even the biggest tree around, and he broke the branch.
He was just enjoying life, is what he was doing.
So, Courtney, I needed you to be my movie guide.
Okay,
we need to watch it together.
I'm glad I could.
I'm glad I can help you appreciate
this. I really want people to watch this movie after they listen to this, because I think you're going to pick up on the things.
Yes, you need writing for this movie.
I truly did. Okay. So it would not have been the same without
you. And I was picking stuff up once I started paying attention, but this isn't an easy pickup. This isn't an easy pickup, the subtleties of the importance.
Yeah.
And it also kind of has a little bit of that, where at least it's not a 70s directed movie where, like, you watch the person walk through the hall for 5 minutes and that's supposed to be meaningful and you're supposed to pick something up from that.
Yeah.
But it's not directed like a modern movie. It's directed it's directed more along the lines of those 70s movies.
Yeah.
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 So it had a different feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another note is a friend of mine listens to our podcast on when we reviewed Anyone But You.
Yes. Oh,
and we kept going like, this, why is this and this happening? And she said she kept yelling at us. She's like, this is a comedy play by William Shakespeare, yes. Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
Oh,
she kept saying, that's what
totally
it's based
true.
On.
That
well,
I think
actually,
we pointed it out at the beginning.
I don't know, because she said we didn't. And she kept saying,
I don't remember. It's
she
totally
kept
yelling,
I
have
Much Ado About Nothing.
It's totally
I have
not
written
that
my notes. It is, but I have never seen nor read Much Ado About Nothing, so I wouldn't have made the connection.
Thank you, Eliza.
Yes.
For pointing that out.
No, it's totally true. That was totally
shoot.
Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Smarty, smarty, smart, smart.
All right. Well, anyway, I love rewatching that movie. One of my favorites, and it held up for me.
I loved your retelling of it.
I did, too. I loved your retelling of it.
I was so excited. I mean, the whole movie, I was laughing and clapping.
See, we should have watched it together.
Ben and Wiley were having an argument in the kitchen. And I was like, shut up! I'm trying to watch my movie!
And me and Brad were just giggling.
And they kept looking at me like, what are you laughing about in there? What are you, like, you know, in the kiss? I was like, oh, they kissed! Oh my god!
But for me, it came out of nowhere. There was no build to it.
I thought
she was going to sneak up and, like, they were going to do something playful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
there
was
like,
whoa, that was like.
It was so sudden. Like, their whole, like, we're not, was very abrupt to me.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I giggles.
All right, everyone. Well, if you please listen.
Subscribe.
Rate,
review. We've gotten some fun reviews.
Oh,
and it just
gosh,
makes me
yeah.
I love that.
I know. Thank you.
So
happy.
I didn't realize how much fun this would be.
It is so fun.
It is
I'm
so fun.
This.
You guys, I went into this thinking, like, I hate romance.
I know. It was so funny. You were like, I'll do it because I want to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
And then Lisa's been the tech dream because I'm like, I don't want to deal with the tech stuff. And
if
then,
it wasn't for you, Lisa, I don't know if we would have ever gotten it. Past the microphone not working.
I know. Courtney and I tried to tape for a few days without you. We were like, oh, I was just like,
you can't do this.
Like, we're giving up on this story.
Well, it's been fun. I want to keep doing it. So keep listening and review and spread the word.
Sure.
And I want to share love stories. I can't
believe that love story was so amazing.
We've gotten some good goodies.
We have.
Send them our way. I just
and we love
so
to share. I mean, as much as we love them, we know you're going to love them as well. And it's so fun to share.
Yes.
Positive, lovely love stories.
Yeah.
So great.
And rate our advice too. Like, if you think we give good advice, let us know, because like, feedback is always good. Like, let us know. I totally disagreed with the advice you gave there. You know, I want to grow and learn and have new perspectives.
I would have said that's this true. Instead. Because
we
could all use what it takes a town.
Yeah. It takes a village. And you know, so you're part of our village. So
Yeah. Go to myperfectromance.com and you can, get a hold of all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Be part of the fun.
XOXO.
Thanks.